Swansea University Computer Society, Lightning Talk Session 3, Bug Reporting by Sitzfer Wheeler. Sitz.
Okay, so, I'll stay out of the limelight. Obviously, I have no slides, so I'm afraid you're just going to have to go with this as a particular backdrop. But my talk is simply going to be about bug reporting and my experience with it in Linux distributions. So, I guess I should give you a little bit of history on how I fell into this. So back in, 1999, I thought, you know, I'm an undergraduate student, I don't have, I've got plenty of free time, what can I use, what can I do in that free time? I know what I'll do, I'll go test a web browser, because at the time I'd heard that there was this brilliant, fantastic new web browser called Mozilla Firefox. Mozilla, in fact, back then. And it was going to be great. It was going to be fantastic. So I rushed out, you know, I went and got a copy of it, and because it was going to be the next big thing, and I looked at a couple of sites, and boom, just blew up, crashed, burned, you know, left me with nothing. And I thought, great, fantastic. This is something I can get on board with. I love this, you know. I love this testing malarkey. And the thing which I guess drew me to it the most was that I knew that the software was open source, and there was this business that I'd be able to report the problems that I was finding to the developers, and then this was the amazing thing, they might fix them. It was kind of like, wow. And so, you know, I went on IRC and I started chatting away to people, and they said, you know, oh, you found the problem, okay. Can you check our website and see whether it's a problem which has already been reported? And so, you know, the first problem I had, yeah, somebody had already reported it. But it wasn't long before I was finding new problems that hadn't been categorised. And then they said, ah, that's really good. You know, you found a genuine new problem. But before we can acknowledge the problem, we're going to need you to actually take some steps, break the problem down, which in this case is a web page, and find out the minimum thing that actually demonstrates what the problem is. And so, you know, initially my HTML wasn't so brilliant, and so I spent a huge amount of time just basically cutting, you know, pages in half, seeing where the problem went away, and then trying to reproduce it in one of the halves, and then repeating that until I got to the stage where there was nothing more to take away that still showed the problem. And developers absolutely love this. If you ever do program development, it's absolutely fantastic when somebody comes along and has basically reduced the problem to its smallest constituent part, which still shows you the problem, because when you're looking at it, you've got less to look at. And so they said, this is brilliant, you know. In their parlance, they called this a reduced test case. And so I filed it, and, you know, a little while later, the problem was actually fixed. And I noticed that the more problems I reported where I could reduce it to the smallest possible part and then report it, the more likely my problem was to be fixed. And so this sort of went on. So more and more problems started being fixed. I started being able to use the Mozilla browser on more and more websites. Eventually, because I was in the university, I actually had the opportunity to test on lots of different platforms. You know, other people were just doing testing on perhaps just Linux. Some people were doing it on just Windows. Some people were only doing it on Macs. Well, here in the university, I had access to all three. So that's what I did, you know. I start the browser up on a Mac, blow it up, get the Mac's bug bomb. Boom! Brilliant. You know, next up, Linux. Back then we had these Spark dumb terminals. I'd look at pages, you know, get them to appear, bang, boom, out of memory, brilliant, fantastic. You know, next up, Windows, right, okay, head down to the library, wait a good, you know, back then it was only like 10 minutes to log on. I gather it's gone up since. But okay, wait a little while to log on, you know, download the browser, try and run it, boom, bang, missing DLL, brilliant, fantastic. So, you know, it went a lot like that, and because I had access to all of these platforms, I could actually test bugs. I could check whether a bug which happened on the Windows browser happened on Linux and also happened on the Mac version, and, you know, I can report this back in the bug report. So this, again, developers absolutely love this because I'm doing a lot of tedious work, and I'm saying, you know, I can was able to categorize whether the bug was platform specific or not. So, you know, time went on, and basically the browser just kept getting better and better and better until I was basically at the stage where I wasn't really finding that many bugs in day-to-day usage. So, you know, I had to move on to my next challenge. So, you know, after a web browser, well, you know, why not just move on to a whole operating environment? So, you know, Linux, off we go, brilliant, let's see what problems we can find. And so I remember, you know, it must have been around 2000 when I got my first PC, and I was happily sitting down trying to run it, and then boom, you know, computer dies, completely dead, you know, and the error there was an error message on the screen, a kernel panic, just sitting there. And, you know, I spent hours poring over the documentation on how best to correctly report this. So, you know, I tediously sat down, wrote a transcription out of the error which was on the screen, you know, made a listing of all the modules I had installed on the computer at the time, you know, followed documentation down to a T, included huge amounts of information about what my system was, and basically thought, okay, let's send it off to the kernel developers and see what happened. And so I send it off to the Linux kernel mailing list, and, you know, I'm waiting, and a couple of hours later, I get an email back from Alan Cox, and I say, oh, great, let's look at this. And he says, your bug is invalid, because you're using a kernel which is using a binary NVIDIA driver, and thus we won't look at any problems you're having with the stability of your system. So that was it. Hours of work thrown away, bang, just like that. So why am I saying this? Well, it pays basically to know a little bit more about the environment and what developers will actually bother to look at. There's it doesn't matter how detailed you are, if you're breaking some particular condition, your developers basically won't look at the amount of effort you've put in, because you may have just run in the completely wrong direction. So make sure that when you're reporting bugs, your setup is appropriate. And so, you know, time moves forward a little bit more. It's a couple of years later, you know, we're having a couple of issues in the computer society with, you know, some of our services. And so I think to myself, I'll sit down and, you know, I'll report a couple of the issues that we're seeing in the latest Linux distributions. By now, I actually had a lot of experience on the best way to phrase bugs. So I noticed, having filed bugs on graphical problems, you know, there's a particular layout, a particular format that developers especially respond to, and that is, at the top of the bug, it's really good if you can put like an overview of the description of the problem. So, you know, rather than saying, for example, let's say I've got a door which doesn't close properly, rather than just sort of like saying, you know, a room in this building is broken, it's better to actually say, you know, when I leave this particular room, the door fails to close properly. The reason why this is better is because you're narrowing it down, you're saying that there's a particular instance. Rather than just saying there's something wrong, you're actually pointing at what is wrong. So a description of the problem is always good. The next thing up is steps to be able to reproduce the problem. There's nothing more infuriating for developers than when somebody's got a problem and they can't tell you what they have to do in order to actually reproduce the problem, because the bugs which gets fixed the quickest are those which the developer can actually reproduce themselves. So, you know, an example of this is, you know, you literally say, when I go to, if I'm using a web browser, if I go to this page, I do this particular thing, you know, the browser breaks. If you've got a bug which has, you know, simple, clearly defined steps, where when you follow the steps you get a particular problem, then your problem basically has an improved chance of actually being solved. So steps which actually reproduce the problem. Next up after that, How often can you reproduce the problem? You know, some problems are intermittent. It turns out that in life, or rather when you start looking at operating systems, there's certain categories of problems that are notoriously finicky, and you often see, you know, words like intermittent turning up. So an example of this is when you've got, for example, bad memory. That can cause really flaky, difficult, pain in the neck problems. So my example of this is, for years, you know, I'd start my computer up, and if I started it from cold, there'd be the situation where, you know, 3 times out of every 5, the computer would hang, you know, 20 seconds after starting. And this was, like, really, really frustrating for me. And, you know, literally years went by without me realising what the problem was. And then one day, I thought, for whatever reason, I know, I'll reset my BIOS back to its safe defaults. And the problem went away. It turned out that I was basically pushing my memory far too hard, and this was causing the memory to give out intermittent faults. So this is an example of why it's a good idea to say why, how often a particular bug is happening. If it's intermittent, say so, because intermittent problems can be legitimate problems, but they can just as well be things like flaky hardware. And so you'll often see, if you ever have to, for example, file a bug to do with something like a graphics card or the NVIDIA binary driver or something like that, you'll find that there, one of the things that they'll often check is, you know, are you on your latest BIOS? Have you made sure that, you know, you're not overclocking your machine? Because all of these things, you know, overclocking, hey, it's great, it's fantastic. You get your machine to go faster at zero additional cost. But the catch is, you're potentially running things past their tolerance. And when you do that, you can set yourself up for irritating little problems that are very difficult to sit down and diagnose, and maybe only happen, you know, 1 in every 1,000,000 times. So you got to be careful. And if you're having problems with a bug, if it's reproducible every time, it's easy for developers to fix. If it's only happening, you know, once in every crescent moon, those are going to be more difficult to fix. I believe that there was once an Emacs bug, which actually was related to the phase of the moon, because somebody was printing out some text or something based upon the phase of the moon, and one piece of text was like one character longer than the buffer or something like that. And so it only caused a buffer overrun once every month or something like that. So that's a fantastic example. And finally, you know, chuck in, and if appropriate, chuck in an additional information section into your bug reports, because this gives, again, the developer another clue as to why your system might be breaking the way it is. So, I talked a little bit about how I got started in bug reporting. Since then, I've looked at literally hundreds of bug reports on, you know, varieties of systems. So, I've looked at Mozilla. So, these days, if you're using Mozilla Firefox, you probably, in some shape or form, making use of my work many years ago. So, I've looked at Mozilla bugs, I've looked at Red Hat bugs, I've looked at Gentoo bugs, I've looked at Ubuntu bugs, I've looked at SUSE bugs. There's a whole load of bugs. I probably even looked at Microsoft bugs. I think I remember reporting Microsoft bugs back to them. I've even reported Mono bugs. So, you know, I've spent a long time looking at bugs, bug reports, and filing bug reports. And there's a small category of bug reports which irritate me, which I'm quickly going to try and run through now. So, one class of bug reports which you see a lot of are the hit and run bug reports. Why hit and run? Because what happens is, you know, the reporter comes along, you know, says, my system has a problem, and then disappears. Then you hear nothing more. You say, wait a minute, can you follow up with more information? Eerie silence. Can you reproduce the bug? Eerie silence. Hello? Nothing. So, you know, don't be a hit-and-run bug reporter. If you're filing a bug report, try and stay in there for the long term.
Unfortunately, at this point we ran out of tape, but thank you for listening. You can find more Sucks Lightning Talks online at sucks.org, that's SUCS, /community/talks. Again, thank you for listening.